Welcome to the How Did They Do It Real Estate Podcast. Have you ever wondered how people succeed in real estate and what steps they took to get there? If so, this podcast is for you. Your hosts, Sayla and Eileen Prack, interview top experts in the real estate community to share with you their real estate journey and how they achieved massive success. Our goal is to provide you with valuable real estate resources and to help you apply it to your own real estate goal. Welcome to today's episode of the How Did They Do It Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Eileen Prack, and today our guest is Andrew Kim, and he is a technology entrepreneur and passive real estate investor. And after investing and trying to do BRRRRs, he was able to manage to find success by working with seasoned professionals. And his real estate portfolio allows him to focus on other passions and professions, which is building technology companies. His current focus is building SHARE, the easiest way to build a portfolio of rental properties. So Andrew, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Well, thanks for having me. I'm fantastic.
So Andrew, can you start off by sharing a little bit more of your background and how you got started with real estate?
Yeah, so professional background, always been in the tech world, building consumer products. And then growing up, I was always somehow was, you know, brainwashed. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's like an innate feature of me, but always thinking that real estate was the ultimate sort of safety net and asset class to build wealth. So always thinking that, you know, one day I'm going to invest in real estate. And as I grew professionally, I realized that I am a risk taker by nature. So an entrepreneur. And I think what was ingrained in me was how do you build a safety net so you can take risks and then fall back on the safety net. So that being said, you know, as I went to school and profession, I always saved almost every single dollar. I worked every single part-time job I could possibly have and then started getting into the sort of BRRRR model. And was getting into that in the greater Toronto area. And not sure if you're familiar with the Toronto area, the real estate is very much, it's very expensive in Toronto. Today, the average single family home is about 1.2 million. And I started getting in around 2010. And at that point, you could get a house for like 300, 400,000. And I got bought a couple foreclosures, really kind of learned on the fly, probably lost a significant amount of capital trying to figure that out. And then I think I finally got it once I got a tenant in there, but it was self-managing because we don't have the property management services available and kind of just left it as is, was doing the self-managing piece. But then professionally, I had just moved to California in 2011 and met my current business partner, who was our accountant at our last company. And she was looking at my real estate portfolio and was like, you really kind of suck at this. And, you know, you really could go a lot further with that capital if you invested in the US. And she was at that time investing in Florida, in the St. Petersburg area. And she was like, you know, I can get you a house for like $90,000 to $100,000 with like a 9% cap rate. Why wouldn't you do this? And that includes property management and you're self-managing in Canada, getting like a 2% cap rate. So I was floored by those economics and the rental rate. So I liquidated all my assets and started deploying in Florida. And then over the next couple of years while living in California, I bought a few more homes and then kind of left it there for a bit. Fast forward like 5-6 years, came back to Canada and then pandemic hit. And like, actually, that's probably fast forward like 10 years, but pandemic hit and I was looking to build another business and realized I'm stuck at home with my kids, losing my mind, thinking, how am I supposed to build another business? And, you know, looking to deploy capital in more passive investments and wanted to get back into single family rentals and realized nothing has really developed and there's nothing really easy for us to deploy capital. You still got to figure out where to invest, how to invest, what type of homes, your management part, everything. And coming from the tech world, I had assumed that there was a website or company that allows me to buy turnkey homes across the states, but it didn't exist. So that's kind of how SHARE was spawned. And we decided to, you know, de-risk and lower the effort required to get into single family rental homes across landlord friendly states.
Going back when you first started, you mentioned that you lost a lot of money when you were buying using the BRRRR strategy. What was the reasoning behind that? Like, how were you buying the houses? And then what caused you to lose, you know, the amount of money that you did?
Yeah, it was poor underwriting on my part, assessing rents. You know, I just grabbed a random sort of real estate agent to kind of give me homes and took their advice, and that's not what they specialized in. So they got the rents all wrong. The renovations were just way out of scope. Ended up took a wrong perspective, kind of looked at it as what I would want in this house if I lived in there versus what's necessary. And then the management piece, I totally underestimated how much effort it requires to DIY it. So renovation time, and then my budget was just way off.
So at that time, you bought a couple of foreclosures. You kept all those properties while you were still living in Toronto, or did you liquidate all that when you moved to California and started investing in Florida?
Yeah, I was trying to manage them remotely when I lived in California. It was hard because when I needed a trade, I had to look through the sort of phone book at the time and then figure out who to deploy there. But it was when I started deploying it, learning about the U.S. single family rental market, that's when I decided to sell off those properties.
So investing from Canada and then living in the United States, was there anything in particular that you had to do in order to start investing here in the U.S.?
I just had to set up a company, very basic things. And then financing was a bit tough to find, but ended up finding that, that was like the early days of the DSCR loan. So ended up deploying on those.
So why Florida? Because I know a lot of people in Toronto and Canada markets, they really like to invest in Florida. What was about the market that attracted you to invest in Florida versus any of the other states?
Probably what I should have done is look beyond that, but I didn't and I think that's a trap a lot of sort of everyday investors fall into. It's like, who's in your network and where do they specialize in? And that's what they get pitched on. So that's just what happened to be within the network of my accountants. She knew an agent there, she invested there. And by virtue of her agent having a lot of clients looking for investment property, he built like a small boutique property management company. So for me, that was turnkey. And I was like, it's simple. And then just the price points and returns alone had me sold. And I didn't think like I needed to look anywhere else, but I probably should have. But it's not like those investments did poorly. They've done pretty well. St. Petersburg has gone up quite a bit over the last 10 years. It's just my insurance rates are killing me now.
So at that time, when you were managing all the properties yourself and then moving into the Florida market and then now hiring a third-party property manager to help you with that, how did your way of thinking of investing change during that period?
It was a very eye-opening experience, the fact that I could actually get a property manager to actually having the returns that are good enough to afford a property management partner. To do that was like a significant weight off of my shoulder. So at that point, I was like, okay, well, there is an opportunity to expand my portfolio and be less involved. But then over time, you realize that that still requires work because you really need a solid property management partner. You know, it's like you feel the grass is greener on the other side, you get to there over there and you realize someone painted the grass green, you know?
Spray painted it.
Yeah.
So Share, the company that you started now, that's a turnkey business?
I wouldn't say it's turnkey, but what we do is we work with everyday investors to find homes that sort of meet their investment criteria. And then we apply our sort of institutional background of underwriting estimates to go out and find and vet homes that would meet that criteria. We'll help facilitate the closing of it. And then we put them on our platform after, and we're the asset manager for them. So we pass through all the economies of scale of our third-party property management company and our insurance policy and every other sort of service offering we have.
So this spawned during the pandemic when you're trying to figure out what to do. Why did you decide that this was the path that you wanted to go down?
Yeah, so there's a small piece of that I left out in the history there. Like, when I started buying up during the pandemic, you know, or leading up to the pandemic, I looked at my portfolio and said, okay, look, over the 10 years, it's really choppy. But now that I've kind of put focus on building out my portfolio, I've managed to deploy more capital, be more hands-on, and hit, you know, a pretty good passive income. And I was thinking to myself, like, look, I think this is the goal of many people that dabble in real estate or want to get into real estate, but it is a lot of work. So what was the driving force was like, look, I can have some modest success here. how do I kind of give that to others and avoid the hiccups and the risk and the heartburn and use technology to kind of get them there. So that was the driving force of it. It was like, how do you provide financial freedom for others by way of technology and real estate?
So how are you finding the deals in today's market, especially with the rising costs of, you know, single family homes and also the cost of interest rates that are making it so much more unaffordable nowadays? How are you being able to find the deals that still pencil out for investors and still generate some type of cash flow or appreciation or some type of returns?
Yeah, it's probably two fronts, looking in the sort of higher cash yielding home areas. And a lot of our clients do have access to their own sort of mortgage facilities. So some of them might be, you know, sort of finagling the other loans that they have with their primary banks, or, you know, we're going towards like the 7+ cap rate areas where it can kind of make that sort of mortgage spread. So we're seeing a lot more shift towards, you know, pre-pandemic and during the pandemic, probably a lot of our clients are sitting in the A and B class home, which we kind of categorize as the mid 200,000 to mid 300,000. But now a lot of them are going to the mid 100s where we can kind of see that 7% cap rate and cover that spread. And the mentality a lot of our investors have is that, you know, and with the increasing presence of institutions buying up single family homes, that if they can make a deal pencil today, they'll take it. Knowing that as rates drop, they'll kind of lock in a new 30-year mortgage and kind of set it and forget it at that point.
So are you still focused in the Florida markets, or have you moved out into other different markets at this point?
Yeah, we're actually avoiding Florida. Not necessarily avoiding, we just kind of caution our clients not to go to Florida. So we're across the Sun Belt and Midwest right now.
How are you seeing those markets panning out, especially, you know, over the next couple of years, a couple months with potential rate decreases over the next year?
Yeah. So, you know, these are, you know, typically areas where the price points are sub-national average, where you've got a strong investor base. So they've, at least the metros we're in, we've seen pretty good price stability in the last like two quarters, because again, you see investors competing with homeowners. And we do see that this asset class is rather resilient during a recession because rental demand goes up. So we do think that the price points will remain stable. We're actually a bit worried that as the rates drop, these price points are going to start ticking up. And we're actually seeing that with a lot of our clients circling back and saying, hey, I think I'm ready to go before these prices go up.
So what does the typical process look like? Let's say you have a property that's available, and then does it get sent out to your investors and they see it and they're interested in looking at the property further? And then after that, how do you implement, you know, the property managers in place, any renovation costs afterwards, if that's included? Like, how does that whole entire process look like?
Yeah, so we actually search based on each client's criteria. So when a client comes through, we spend one or two calls going through their buy box and their financing strategy and providing a pro forma. Once they get comfortable with that, we ask for a proof of funds to cover the closing costs. And then we turn on our search, and our system will look through on-market and off-market deals and shortlist them. Once we see a shortlist, we put a conditional offer on the house and then present that deal to the client. If the client looks interested, and then we'll send in a third party inspection or a contractor and our property management company to obviously give us a full report and a renovation quote. If it's still within the budget, then we'll go to immediate closing, usually 30 to 45 days. Post close, our construction team gets to work within 5 business days, does the renovations. Our property management then comes in and does the leasing activity. We have the property management partners master policy. So we use large property management companies that typically don't work with retail investors. So we pass through those economies of scale, and same with our landlord insurance. Everyone that comes in on our platform piggybacks our landlord policy, and that's typically 20% cheaper as well.
The deals that you're finding then, how are you able to beat out the competition, or are you in the markets? Well, because if you're in the Sun Belt states, I'm assuming there's a lot of competition as well, trying to vie for the same types of properties. As an investor, you have a little bit of a disadvantage because maybe a first-time home buyer might be willing to pay a higher price for those properties. What are you doing to win these deals?
Yeah, I mean, we have this just cast a large net, which, you know, because we're a tech play, we can go across multiple states versus just focusing on one. So we do cast a large net across there. Unfortunately, we have to be disciplined on what our price ceiling is, but basically backing into our cap rate targets. So if we get outbid, we just have to make sure that we keep their search open. So we do have a bit of a conversion metric where we look for each client. We know that we're going to probably go through about five bids before we get to one that actually sticks.
So this platform, what about the real estate agents that are involved? Is that part of what your company offers also, or is that a separate service?
No, that's all included. So we do partner with local brokerages, or a lot of our PM partners do have their license in that local area. So we do have an agent on the ground that's facilitating all of the transaction and negotiations.
And for the property management companies that you're working with, do they have different facilities in these different markets, or are you working with multiple different property management companies in specific markets?
Yeah, we have a handful that have like 80% coverage of like the markets we're in. Again, they're large. They typically have like 40 to 50,000 doors under management. So they are multi-state.
So for these types of properties, like, because you're working with investors who are reaching out to you looking for specific criteria, what are you seeing right now in terms of investor sentiment? Are they being more risky? Are they looking for more cash flow? Are they looking for more appreciation? What's their overall, I guess, commonality?
Yeah, I'd say right now we're skewing more towards cash flow than appreciation. Right now, normally it would be more on like sort of the middle of the sort of like the four cap, where you got some appreciation, some cash flow. But now with, you know, interest rates, we're seeing a more of a 70-30 split, more of people going towards the cash flow heavy homes, less worried about the appreciation.
So Andrew, what is next for you and what are you looking to focus on?
I'm looking to build share. That is sort of like, that's like 210% of my time, is building this platform, allowing investors to get into the single family rental market with sort of low risk, low effort. Personally, I love high risk real estate. I love beat up properties that are in great neighborhoods. So I'll take on distressed units.
And Andrew, how has real estate investing impacted your life?
It has allowed me to be as risky as I possibly can. As a sort of tech entrepreneur, we take lots of risk. We're a venture backed company, meaning we have to go exceptionally fast to grow. And, you know, I've got children that I've got to feed, I've got a mortgage. So luckily I've made some good bets on real estate and it's allowed me to stay afloat and some. So I've managed to, you know, get a six-figure income off of real estate. So that has really helped a lot. I don't think I'd be able to build share if I didn't touch the real estate prior to.
And what is the one thing you know now about real estate that you wish you knew when you first started?
Get a trusted network of professionals. Don't think that this is don't DIY it. You've got to do your diligence, speak to experienced people, and don't go with the easiest option.
And Andrew, what is the one thing that sets successful people apart in real estate investing?
Their resiliency, you know, don't give up, research. There is always a way to find a silver lining.
And also, I would love to really ask also, are you focused just in the United States or are you looking at anything in the Canadian market as well, since that's where you are now currently?
Yeah, no, just US market. Yeah, I know we're a team of Canadians, but we've all just professionally worked in US real estate.
All right. So Andrew, where can our listeners find out more about you and what you're doing?
Yeah, you can go to sharesfr.com. SFR is in single family rental. So sharesfr.com. Create a free account, look at some sample properties. But if you want a custom search, you can reach out and we'll turn that on for you.
Awesome. Andrew, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Likewise.
And thank you for listening to our podcast today, brought to you by Bonavest Capital. We would really appreciate it if you can go to iTunes right now and leave a rating and written review. Also, please don't forget to subscribe so you can always get the latest episodes. You can also connect with us on Facebook, How Did They Do It Real Estate. We'd love to hear your feedback and any topics that you're interested in for future episodes. If you're anything like Zayla and me and believe that real estate investing is a great way to create passive income and build long-term wealth, check out our free apartment syndication due diligence checklist for passive investors at bonavestcapital.com/checklist.
Sayla and I created this checklist for ourselves as we evaluated different multifamily syndication opportunities as a passive investor. So we would love to share it with you so you can use it as a resource as well. Download your free copy today at bonavestcapital.com/checklist. Lastly, to learn more about us, you can go to bonavestcapital.com and fill out the contact us page so you can speak to us directly. Nothing on the show should be considered as specific personal advice. Please consult your legal, tax, and real estate professionals for individualized advice.